Excellent.
Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Stefana Johnson, and you are listening to the Soulful Sex Summit. We are in day one, and I'd like to welcome a very special guest, Mr. 2020. Give you a little bit of background on this really awesome guy that you're going to be listening to here. This is a gentleman I met through reading and studying Neville Goddard, and this gentleman had a near-death experience when he was 23 years old. He was a newly married prison guard with only a few short months on the job, and he was taken hostage in one of the worst prison riots in United States history. This deepened a journey he had been exploring about finding how a human being actually survives. He had was given a gift. He had first-hand glimpse into what happens when you die and come back. He says he was given the opportunity to live once again, and he vowed to make his life one that mattered, a life worth living. Isn't that what we all wish for? Whether we've experienced a near-death experience or not, we all wish to live a life that's worth living and that matters. So now, 20-plus years later, this guy is sharing his gifts with the world, and I'm going to pass it over to Mr. 2020 so he can give you a little bit more straight from the horse's mouth. So, Mr. 2020, welcome.
Stefana, thank you for having me here on the show, or not the show, what do we call it, the summit, right? Thank you for having me on the summit.
That too.
I am really looking forward to our conversation today and seeing what all shows up. I know we've got some ideas to perk around with and play with, but this is just totally awesome. So, just a tiny little bit about me so the readers can understand a little bit more. I was born 3 months early. I was 2 pounds, 4 ounces, just a little wee guy way back in the old days. And are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Just making sure.
I'm just being really quiet so I can hear you.
So I was born this wee little guy, and when I was 12 years old, I had enough. I was picked on in school. I had allergies as a kid and all that stuff, and I really decided that I wanted to figure out what would make a difference in my life. What makes us tick as human beings? How can we really activate our potential? And so this quest began with positive thinking, eventually evolved into neuro-linguistic programming. I also got into martial arts back when I was 12, 13 years old. Long story short, the Camp Hill thing was really cool. I got tied up, beat to death, all that stuff, revived. I was not a happy camper. But it really deepened the journey of discovering, what are we? What are we all about? And some of what will show up in today's conversation is a little bit of my interpretation of Chinese philosophy, how love and sex are separate and both vital for our existence and happiness as human beings, and how to, you know, really, you know, access, activate, and utilize that energy in our lives in a way that matters, and in a way that's fun as well. Because, you know, let's face it. I mean, if it's not who was it, Masters and Johnson? Yeah, it's not Masters and Johnson. It's well, that's your last name. Interesting. it really is like one of the things we've been talking about. It's about flirting with what's possible.
I love that. And I do want to get into that, and that's really important. So we'll definitely delve into that. But I brought you on specifically and as the first person in the summit because, as you know, I'm talking a lot about this concept with regards to sex and sexuality and how it's become a little bit of a power trip for people. And, I mean, that's not news. It's really old, this concept that we have in media and how, you know, I can say women, but I know men are objectified as well. But this concept also with regards to PTSD that you've experienced, of course, your experience in the prison, but
yes.
but people, so we've got 4 out of 10 women, girls being sexually abused, and 6 yes. out of 10 men being sexually abused. And so a lot of it is a conversation that people don't want to have. They don't want to have, they don't want to bring it up. And there are folks that are suffering and they're confused about this and they're trying to live their lives and trying to feel worthy and get through it and make something of their lives. And quite frankly, it's difficult when that topic and the subject is pretty much taboo. And then you're suffering from what I consider is PTSD from the traumatic experience, but it's not recognized as such. And as a result, it not being recognized kind of hangs there. It gets stuck because we can't recognize it and call it for what it is so that it can then be released, you know? What's your take on it?
You know, sex is a power. We have, the power of love, mm-hmm. and we also have the power of sex. And if we don't honor this power the way, I don't want to use the words the way it was intended, but mm-hmm. but the way that we're designed, if we don't honor this power, and that's part of what I really want to explore today is how to honor this power. If we don't honor the power of love that we are, if we don't honor the power of sex that we have, it's going to become a power play and it's going to become a struggle. And, if you think about it, sex is about, literally part of the nature of sexual energy is motion. It's about, becoming closer and further and closer and further. And it's about expansion and contraction. Mm-hmm. And when those energies get stifled, it's not only happening with the quote unquote, the sex organs or the sex act, that's our whole economy. Like you said, four out of 10 women have been traumatized. And I can verify that based on girls that I've dated. That's come up in our relationships. Probably at least 4 out of 10 of the girls and women that I've dated or been married to have had problems like that. And, from the guy perspective, I can pretty much guarantee the same kind of thing. And so when the energy gets stagnated or frustrated, it shows up not only in sexuality, but in our economy, in our relationships, and everything.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So what is this? Give us some practical uses for honoring sex. So what can we specifically do here to honor that?
Can I start with a little bit of a background concept?
Yes.
Cool. So in Chinese philosophy, they have what's called the wuji. And wuji basically is symbolized as a simple circle. So if you were to draw a simple circle, we would call that limitlessness, which is a really weird word. Wuji has no peak and no bottom. Wuji is simply what is. So there's no polar opposites. There's no more wuji or less wuji. Wuji is just what is. A lot of people would call it the void or the vastness. In Chinese philosophy, we move from the simple circle of wuji to what most people would call the yin and yang symbol, more correctly called the tai chi symbol. Mm-hmm. And with the tai chi symbol, which has the yin and the yang, the masculine, the feminine, the expansive, the contractive, that's where motion happens. And if we think of it this way, love happens with stillness. Victoria and I can sit on the love seat or sit by our little stream and just be silent and experience love, this expansiveness, this oneness. But sexuality, the energy of sex is more from the level of the yin and the yang, the level of the tai chi, where there's that dynamic interplay, the motion. There's both lubrication and friction. And when we start to examine that in our lives, we really can notice where is there too much lubrication, where is there too much friction. And I'm not just talking the sexual act itself, but mm-hmm. even though it includes that, the sexual act, as far as I can tell, is the symptom of what your sexual energy currently is. And so to explore that and to open up to that, the one thing that I tell people is we need to flirt more. And so I'm going to ask you to ask me, what's the definition of flirting?
All right, 20, what's the definition of flirting?
Stefana, I'm so glad you asked. Flirting is what is reaching for or expanding into what's possible.
Hmm.
And if we explore that as a personal philosophy, what is reaching for what's possible, that really begins that opens us up to a sense of wonder, a sense of curiosity, which can be in the sexual relationship. It can be in just a friendship. It can be in business. But what is reaching for what's possible?
Hmm.
And the metaphor that I often use for that is the young man and the young girl are sitting on the couch, and he wants to reach over and touch her, whether it's on the hand or the knee or put his arm on her shoulder. But there's a longing to expand. What is, they're sitting next to each other. What's possible, we get to reach out and contract a little, reach out and contract a little, and explore movement and expand into intimacy like that.
Okay, I'm trying to visualize this occurring and really get the image to go along with this. So I see it as first being in a place of receptive, because in order to be able to receive that, you have to be open.
Yes, yes.
Which means you have to be receptive, so you have to be able to listen and be clear to do that. And practically speaking, that, I mean, that's just beautiful. It's really, the concept is beautiful. What happens when a person is not even fully present because they're fixated on a past, the past trauma or a past experience, or they're already fixated on what the end result will be, or. I mean, there could be endless. So that would immediately preclude them from being receptive and being open to receive and being in that space. And boy, it just made me realize that perhaps that's why there is so little flirting going on. You know, because there's already this fixed idea of how things should be. And then that brings me to our current culture, which is an instant gratification.
Yes.
Instead of taking the time and really exploring that give and take and the ebb and the flow. Instead, it's what can we get done and wrapped up in a 30-minute episode.
Yes, yes, yes.
Or, you know. Interesting. Very interesting.
So I'm going to spiral into what to do.
Okay.
And this is pretty darn cool. So years ago, I was opening up another chapter in the Book of Life, and we've all done that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a point where I was trying to teach, martial arts and Native American philosophy, basically. I lived in southwestern Pennsylvania, and I was trying to teach martial arts and Native American philosophy to 30 people a week, private lessons, so that I could make my bills. And that just wasn't working. And so I had which was a beautiful set of skills, some beautiful things to share, but I couldn't get it to work. I couldn't get 30 people a week in southwestern Pennsylvania if I tried, and I did. And so that's what is. And so when what is reaches for what's possible, I discovered this really cool thing called eBay. And pretty cool, right? Yeah. So you've been there, I guess. So I discovered this really cool thing called eBay, and I decided what I'm going to do is start filming classes and selling them on eBay.
That's brilliant.
And instantly, this is how I got online. I did everything wrong. I was doing all my duplications with VHS videos and audio cassettes to let you know when this started out, right? But it was a lot of fun because the mindset of what is I have the skills. What is I have time because I don't have clients. So what's possible? What else is possible? And so that's taking it forward in an area of business and finance. To do that, one of the things that I had to do was to change how I thought and change what I remembered. And literally, Yeah, when I started doing that, one of the things that I know you and I have explored before is this power of revision that Neville Goddard teaches. When I started to use the power of revision when I was building that business, and I was using the power of revision previously to cure myself of PTSD.
Okay.
And what that means and how to do that is this. Back in 1989, I was taken hostage in a prison, right? Beat to death, revived. I was not a happy camper, okay? That's what is. I'm looking at potentially going on permanent disability. My marriage was falling apart, all sorts of problems. I was looking at losing my house, all sorts of problems. That's what is. And to reach forward to what is possible, I literally had to start rewriting my history. Now, current neuroscience states that every time that you or me or the listener accesses a memory, we change that memory. And to me, that's fascinating because I didn't know this years ago. But you know, literally, every time you access a memory, it changes.
Okay, so you said every time you access a memory, you're not doing anything. You're just accessing it, meaning you're just recalling it?
Yes, yes.
Interesting. So you're changing it.
Yes. Now it'll get changed or contaminated based upon the mood you're in, who you're with. If somebody else asks you a question that makes you think about it differently. And so with the power of revision or with the technique of revision that we share on freeneville.com, what I started to do to cure myself of PTSD was this. I'd close my eyes. I'd go back to the day where I went to work and got beat to death, revived, and was not a happy camper. And literally, you know, one of the things that I started to do was, you know, I imagined going to work, having a normal day, and coming home. And that was it. Yeah, just changing the personal history. And people might say, well, yeah, that's nice. It's fun. It might work for whatever. But literally, we can go back and we can change the personal history. And that doesn't mean that it's going to make the physical act of what happened goes away. My elbow still hurt. It's 25 years later almost, and my elbows still hurt from the way I got beat. But they don't hurt that bad. I don't have flashbacks. I get along fine with, you know, the groups of people or the people that would be, I was taken hostage by a radical black group. And I get along great with black people, and I've got a lot of good friends that are. But literally, using that technique of revision, going back and changing what happened in your mind, just imagining a new scene, and imagining a new scene, and imagining a new scene, a positive scene, again and again and again, that literally starts to rewire the neurons inside the mind, which allows you to have that trauma have much less impact on your life.
Jeez, that is huge, 20. I mean, that is huge. That's a huge piece right there for anyone. So revision. And if we want to learn specifically how and what steps, I mean, you really talked it through just nicely right there. But what if someone wants specifically, like step by step, show me exactly how to do it? Where do they go to do that?
I will put up a special page for the readers at freeneville.com/revision. And okay. I can spell that out. That's freeneville.com/revision. And I'll make sure that there's one up there for them. And that way they can download the instructions on that and have a lot of fun.
That's awesome. That is huge, huge, folks. You know, I haven't used it personally for that subject, and I'm going to. I've used it for other things. So here's a question for you. Why do you think people hold on to the story and replay if they have I guess it's a new school. This revision is a skill that has to be learned and maybe even taught. Perhaps we can teach to my children. I'm going to do that with my children. But back to why would a person hold on to the old story?
Well, first, we're not taught to do this. You just nailed it. In 8 years of normal school, 4 years of high school, college, police academy, all that good stuff, they never taught us how to do this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They never taught us how to do this stuff. They basically said, well, better luck next time. You got to deal with what you've been dealt. And it's like, are you kidding me?
Interesting.
So this is very, I mean, you know, literally, and we've up until recently, again, neuroscience up until recently has said your memories are permanent recordings. Mm-hmm. When you access them, they are permanent. They don't change. But again, current research says every time, every single time you access a memory, it changes.
This is huge.
Oh, yeah.
So,
my question is, why not do it deliberately? You know,
right.
like literally. I mean, if I'm a little snappy or crabby because I eat too much sugar and Victoria says something and I grumble, I'll immediately revise. I'll go, okay, cool. Yeah. You know, what would I, yeah, and I don't do, and here's a key with revision. You don't do, well, that didn't happen. Mm. Okay. Or I didn't do that. That's defensive and it closes you down. You close your eyes and you imagine the ideal. What would the ideal have been? Mm. Oh, I'm sorry, babe. You know, I didn't hear you. You know, instead of like, what?
You're okay, that kind of thing. So how does that affect Victoria?
You know, the funny thing is, we don't have a relationship that's based on, I see a lot of marriages.
She doesn't hold a grudge.
No, exactly. You know, I've been in marriages.
Nice try, nice revision 20, but forget it. You're in the doghouse.
I've seen a lot of marriages. And been in a marriage or two that have been based on that, where it's like, oh, remember the time you said this? It's like, oh my god, there's too much friction versus a little bit of lubricant, right? Literally.
You're gonna have to give me a different analogy for that one. That's just too weird for me.
Okay. Got it. This shows up.
The friction. What was the other one? Lubricant analogy is just kind of, I don't know, it's kind of torquing my wheels here.
Got it.
So
what I'll do is I'll revise it like I never said it.
Okay.
Right? Even though I did, right?
Okay.
I'll revise it as if I've never said it, and here's why. Because in the next 30 seconds or minute or the next time I use an analogy that's related, it'll be a better analogy.
Okay.
So it, because I won't be going from, oh, I've got to be careful. Oh, I've got to make sure I change what I say. All that internal dialogue will take me away from you.
Okay.
On the other hand, if I just go, okay, I did a flub up. We all do flub ups. Yeah, everybody does a flub up. They all come from just a less than resourceful state. And so, fine.
Well, interesting. So to me, it wasn't a flub up. It was just like I didn't fully understand it. I mean, to me, when you're saying that, I'm thinking cars, oil, you know, I just had to have my oil changed and they had to lube the chassis and blah, blah, blah. And that's what I was thinking. And
it just didn't
fit for me as far as like a relationship. And I want to understand that. But, you know, now that I'm thinking about it as we're going, so that's very interesting because essentially the lubricant is smoothing the gears so that they flow more freely and do their job and connect. Okay, so this is interesting. So that they connect without grinding.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So thanks, 20. That was actually a perfect analogy.
So you know what's cool,
interesting.
Right? So as soon as we had the little bit back there, I went in and revised.
Yeah.
You can do it in real time. You can close your eyes and really do it like you have to if you're really dealing with big time trauma.
Okay.
Or in real time, I just go, okay, I said something much more effective than that.
Mm.
And literally, I go inside and imagine, yep, I said something much more effective than that. That was cool.
Freaking brilliant.
And the beauty of it is that allows the energy that we share, the energy of us touching each other, to flow the way that it needs to. And the cool thing is, I didn't even have to come up with a new metaphor or analogy.
Right.
Something shifted in you. And that's the beautiful part of this because, even with
– powerful.
It's powerful stuff because, and again, it's not in the words and it's not in me doing the right thing or denying I did a bad thing or whatever.
Yeah.
It's about diving into the flow.
Okay, so this is huge. Also, let's go back to Victoria because I want to, I experienced this firsthand, but now I want to experience it from understanding how Victoria would respond in the relationship where, hubby was kind of a jerk and he said something really nasty, but he's sane enough to go, whoa, that wasn't exactly what I intended. Revision, I'm going to revise that. And then you do your step, but she's still kind of reeling from it. So tell me, go from there and tell me about Victoria.
Cool. So I suspect she holds the same space here that I do, because we've explored a lot of this together.
Okay, yeah.
And it comes down to forgiveness. And what forgiveness is to me is this: realizing that anything stupid or anything negative that anyone does is simply coming from a not very resourceful state. It's coming from past trauma. It's coming from something less than ideal. And when I look at her and when I look at you, what I remember and what I notice is that you're the spark behind the eyes. You're divinely perfect, you know, created in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And anything stupid that you would do or she would do or I would do, that's just coming from some goofy bit of programming that I bought into. Mm-hmm. And I get to let it go. If she comes home and she's had a rough day at work, I get to go, oh, the poor girl's had a rough day at work. She's not being snippy with me. She's in a less than resourceful state. God bless her, you know? And it makes it so much easier than counting coup or keeping score or good gosh, the things that, that we've all done in earlier parts of our lives.
Interesting. And so we definitely come to a place of having immense amount of compassion, not only for ourselves, but for others.
Yes. And one of the keys is remembering, when I look at her and remember what she is, she's the spark behind the eyes. Yeah, you know, she's not her physical body. She's not her history. She's not even her behavior.
Yeah.
She is the spark behind the eyes that animates that body. Mm-hmm. You know, and... yeah, wow, that's cool. So if she got drained at work, or if I'm snappy because I ate too many donuts or something, I'm an ex-cop. I eat donuts. I'm sorry, gang. Well, only one day a week, though, do I have donuts, right? But if that shows up, it's the opportunity to even with me, I get to remember, oh, yeah, you know, the protoplasm's not happy because I had too much sugar. So, yeah, I get to remember I am the spark behind the eyes and just let it go. Let it go.
Yeah, this is awesome. This is definitely high-level create source thinking right now that we're talking about. No question. So where do we go? Because now, I mean, clearly when you're up in that realm and that kind of, we can call it vibration, we can call it that wavelength of higher capacity energy, where it seems almost like you have to lower down into the realm of these, well, you called it plasma, the physical, genetic, chemical reaction of sex.
Yes.
So talk about that and how those two can be balanced. You know, that high level energy of spirit and coming down into, because spirit, what does spirit need sex for? You know, we're not procreating.
Oh, yeah.
talk to me about that.
And spirit really does need sex.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So remember, okay, we start with Wuji. There's this oneness.
Yeah.
And so Victoria and I, we go outside, we sit in our little chairs, and we look over our little stream. And that's and love is there. There's an expansion. There's a feeling of oneness. There's a silence. No need to talk.
Oh, wow.
That's Wuji.
And it's not just between the two of you. It's all around you.
We don't even exist. Mm. We're just a field of love.
Oh, wow. Oneness. Yeah, okay. I get it.
So that's the Wuji, the oneness.
Okay.
And when the Taiji shows up, the yin-yang part of the whole thing, then there's the dynamic interplay where Victoria says, I'm going to get up and go do some gardening. And I get to say, I'll be with you in a little bit. And so we get further apart. Mm. Not just physically, but mentally, because she's left. Her mind is left before her body left. Mm. And so there's Victoria going off to garden. The mind leaves first, and then the body follows. And then I sit there and do what I do. I might do a little bit of kung fu or just sit and notice my breath or ponder what I'm going to teach tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then I go, oh, I wonder where she is. And so I'll stand up and I'll follow her, and I'll get closer to her again. And so the sexual energy, outside of the sexual act, it's the same. We get closer, we get further. We get closer, we get further. It speeds up, closer, further, it slows down. I try to keep up with her in the garden, I can't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, someday she can't keep up with me in the garden. That's cool. But there's this always this interplay of closer, further. And like you said, there's a little bit of friction, but no grinding. If there's grinding, there needs to be a little bit more opening up or something. Mm-hmm. But they're not just metaphors. It's all about our life. It's all about our life.
So how does it get twisted? So I'm trying to really look at this because I see this. I totally get the picture you painted of you guys being on your bench, and just I totally get that oneness and that wholeness and that completeness. And yes. Then I see the separation occur when you talk about the yin yang, the taiji, and the separation occurs. So there's a splitting of energy somehow that then creates the dynamic. So then there's your force of your positive and your negative, your base energy of, you know, the battery and the, you have to have the two, the polar opposites in order to create that attraction, that magnetic attraction. Oh boy, now we're getting to a whole, I don't mean to be getting into this other
way cool
stuff, but that's what I'm starting to see as you painted that picture of starting from a whole, then splitting that whole in order to experience this expansion and contraction.
Yes.
And then a flow. So then to come back down to this, I guess it's the, we're talking about such high, cool stuff, but then I have to bring it back to this thing because it.
I've got a goodie for you.
Okay, let's hear it. I know you're ready.
So in the sex act itself, right?
Yeah.
It's not just stick it in and push.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
So it's literally further in, going out. Further in, going out. So there's two ways going on, or two directions going on, in and out, right? Mm-hmm. Now, it's also the same with, I've noticed in personal relationships as well as with coaching clients, if sex in a relationship becomes, this is something that I give to you, or something you want from me, that's just like saying it's all in or it's all out. It's all one direction. Mm-hmm. Versus this is something that we can explore together. Literally being a success. Here's a question for the listener. What is a successful sexual act? Mm-hmm. Or sex, or what is success when it comes to sex? From what I can tell, it really comes down to let's be willing to see what is or notice what is and discover what's possible, mm-hmm. whether it be in bed or sitting here just having a discussion. You and I are having sex energy all through this because we're discovering, we're going from what is. There's you and there's me. Mm-hmm. We are what is, and we're discovering what's possible in a conversation. And that's what makes it so lively. Because if we're just in bed touching each other, we get to discover, is it going to go in one direction or another? Mm-hmm. Are we just going to touch each other and fall asleep, which is lovely? Are we going to touch each other and get aroused and then fall asleep? Is it going to be real active or semi-passive? I don't know. But it's all about the discovery of again, this flirting thing. Flirting, I would guarantee if I could teach flirting in high school, or if I could get flirting like this taught in high school, we could change the economy.
Yeah. You know what? I get what you're saying about flirting, but flirting kind of, for me, when I hear that word, is kind of like sweet and frilly and like girly. But what you've just described in this conversation today is so freaking huge. It's actually shifted my reality on sex. And it was totally what my intention was in starting this Soulful Sex Summit. Because, you know, you teach what you need to learn. And here I am with really wanting to understand this this concept surrounding sex, knowing that it cannot be this degraded, icky, gross, or, you know, painful, fear-driven, miserable thing. I just know that it's not that. And then as you describe this wholeness, it's like you just shifted all of the energy way up into well, certainly a higher vibration of love and yes. what love really is. And that's amazing. That's yes. amazing. Wow.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. That is so cool. Okay, so now you can go back to your flirting and what you would teach in high school. So let's hear it. What would you teach if you were to go back in high school?
If I could have this taught in high school, I would teach it as a living philosophy. What is reaching for? What's possible? I'm an internet marketer and a coach. And so, you know, the marketing is primarily based on all my coaching products and also coaching sessions. And again, however this happened in my life, I discovered this capacity to notice what is and how to literally open up to what's possible with it. And if we could teach this to kids, and we can teach this, and really, we probably just have to start with adults, because if kids see adults doing this, they're going to do it. Mm-hmm. And if we could just help people get, look, you know, the first step is to really notice what is. What is I'm laying in bed next to a beautiful woman. That's what is. What's possible with this, we both get to discover in the moment. And if we're both willing to discover what's possible, then there's no power play. It's not I'm forcing myself on you and you're giving to me, or, you know, all that crap, all that. Literally, what I just described wasn't just a sex act that's not healthy, but also a sales act that's not healthy. I used to be in direct sales. And I noticed in sales, it was the same thing. I used to walk into my best sales program. I'll teach this real quick because, yeah, you're going to love it. I would walk in and I'd tell the customer, I have no idea if my service is good for you. And I was just being honest. I was telling them, I don't know. I know I've got a good service, but I don't know you or your business. And so what I'd like to do over the next 15 minutes is find out if there's a potential fit. And if there is, we're going to discover it together. And that caused my sales to go through the roof. I was one of the best two sales guys in the office continuously because I walked in being honest. I didn't go in going, I'm going to have my way with you, or I hope you buy from me, which is how a lot of people have relationships and sex. But I approached sales with, hey, my name was not Mr. 2020 back then, but if it was, I'd walk in and say, I'm Mr. 2020. I'm here from ABC Corporation. And I know my product and I know it's good. I'd love to find out if it's good for you.
That is so cool.
Oh my God. It changed everything. I had guys that were, again, what does the prospect do? Resists. Well, I have 15 minutes. Sit down, try to sell me. I all that went out the window. And it's the same in marriage. It's the same with sex. When you decide, you know what, let's discover what's going to be possible for us for the next 50 years. Whoa. Talk about a totally different way of getting married versus you're mine.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so in love with you. Isn't that funny? Are you okay? Left you speechless. But the way you're speaking is like, who wouldn't fall in love with that? Who wouldn't fall in love with somebody who is so open and let's look at the possibilities? I mean, that's just huge. So I'm curious as to what changed or how did you discover that?
I got tired of the other way. You know, when we get tired of... I had post-traumatic stress disorder for almost 5 years. And it came and it went, and I had night terrors, and I hated black people, and I had all sorts of problems. I couldn't be around a chainsaw, because they had chainsaws in the riot. I didn't like being around anything that smelled of smoke. And I got tired of that. I just got tired of life being a struggle. and using that tool of revision and discovering this whole way of life based on flirting, what is reaching for, what's possible, that's brought freedom back to my life. It's brought back the wuji, which is that love, and it brought back the taiji or the yin yang, the sexual part, which is motion. Every day I wake up and I go, what do I got? I look reality square in the face. What do I got today? Today is Monday. I've got to put out an article, an email. Yada, yada, yada. Victoria goes back to work today. So I look at the day honestly with what do I got? In other words, there's me on the sofa and there's a girl next to me on the sofa. That's what is. And what's possible with Monday or the girl on the sofa?
What's possible? Ooh, I'm going to steal that. That's my new motto. What's possible?
If you remind me, I'll put up another free bonus for the listeners if they go to freeneville.com/revision, which is I have a recording called Adventures in Possibility Thinking. And in Adventures in Possibility Thinking, one of the things that we share is this. Positive thinking is terrible. Positive thinking will ruin your life because...
Wait, are you being sarcastic? Are you being serious right now?
Oh, no, I'm being serious.
Because I'm like Miss Positive Thinking. I'm like, okay, you can do this. Every day and every way you're getting better and better and better. I mean, So you're serious.
I'm dead serious.
You got my ear.
The problem with negative thinking is that whatever happens, you assign a level of negativity to it, right? Mm-hmm. I have an Aunt Martha that's like that. No matter what she says, oh, well, something else might happen. No, it's terrible. It's like, oh, I just made $100. Oh, well, now you got to pay taxes. Like, good Lord, right? Okay. So no matter what, you'll find some negative attached to it.
Right.
So... way back in the day, I was a positive thinker, right? Oh, well, positive thinking is fun, except for when they're kicking you in the head. Oh, okay, just to be blunt, yeah, it's hard to get positive about that,
right?
Okay, and so, I didn't become a realist. What I became was I would make up a word because I've never made up a word for this before. Possibilitist. Okay, so to become a possibilitist, I got to notice what's possible here. What is possible here? What's really possible here? And so this goes from asserting that it's positive. Oh, they're kicking me, but at least they're not stabbing me. Okay. which is true, right? Thank God. But it takes it from asserting a positive to discovering what's really possible.
Say that one more time.
Yes. So then Aunt Martha asserts everything's negative.
Uh-huh.
The next step is to assert everything is positive.
Okay.
I'm so glad I get to pay taxes because I have a highway system. Mm-hmm. I'm not really happy I get to pay taxes, right? But I get to go, what's possible? What's possible is I get to pay less taxes by forming a nonprofit and really trying to assert. So what's possible, that changes everything.
That changes everything. Oh, wow. Wow. All of a sudden, you know what this does? It redefines life. It redefines Elan Vital. It redefines who we are. Creators. Discovering possibility. Yeah. Wow.
Yes. Yeah. You know, the whole thing with, can I do a little divergence into the law of attraction?
Yes.
I don't like the law of attraction, even though that's what I'm known by. Right. Yeah. Hey, it's the free Neville Goddard guy, freeneville.com. Right. So what's the Neville Goddard guy, that LOA guy? Oh, we got to have him talk. And the first thing I do when I give a talk to an LOA group is say, I hate the law of attraction. And they look at me like I'm crazy. And I tell them, look, we're made in the image of God. What did God do? God didn't go, well, hey, let me attract some light. Let me attract the heavens and then attract the earth. No, God said, let there be light. Let there be heavens, earth, water, plants, animals, humans. Let's make another human. Oh, my God, now they're multiplying. What are we going to do? Let's have a flood. What we are is creators. Mm-hmm. We don't attract things. We create them.
Wow.
And once we create a zone, things start to happen within and around that zone. And so it's the same with positive thinking. You know, positive thinking is just an assertion. God didn't go, yep, there's light out there. No, God said, let there be light. Let is a permissive word. Possibility is a permissive. It's giving permission to notice what's possible.
Oh, well, I'm speechless now.
Awesome. Cool. In the silence, in the silence, there's a ton of potential. Even when it comes to sex, you know, with sexual energy, remember, sexual energy is held by the Wu Ji. That Tai Ji or Yin Yang is held by the Wu Ji, by that endless circle, the circle without peak or without bottom. And you know, if I could toss something else out, which is just a little practical thing, PTSD ravaged my life. And it ravaged my life because there would be a trigger and then a response. And a trigger and a response. And the trigger could be something simple like hearing a chainsaw or smelling smoke or seeing a black man dressed in a dark colored outfit. Yeah, because that was all stuff that associated with the riot. And so the technique of revision helped to change all that. But the technique of revision was also something to help me notice there's a space between the time when the trigger is pulled and the other thing happens. And so if we can move our attention to space, and again, this may sound paradoxical, but it's really cool. If we can notice, one of the exercises that I give in a lot of my trainings is, while you're listening to me talk, notice the spaces between the words. Notice the space around the words. Don't just listen to the words. Notice the space. And if we notice the space is where intimacy and potential show up. When I was going to rebuild my business, I had a lot of time. And if I just, when I sat and got quiet, it hit me. Oh, make recordings of the classes. You know, we talk about blessings coming out of the blue. And any meditator knows this. When they quiet the mind, the good stuff will plunk in. And so if we just take the time to notice space, that will help us to have the space for the intimacy, for the closeness. Again, it's paradoxical. That yin and yang is always paradoxical. If you can just sit with someone in the space, the closeness will grow. If you can allow yourself to simply be still, you can notice more and more possibility.
If you can allow yourself to be still. So what if you can't? What does that? What is that when you can't? Or
between
you don't?
Between every breath, there's a moment of stillness. And so we've got a really cool exercise that we have people do with one of our Manifesting Money programs. And it goes like this. What I want you to do is to take, let's say, $5, and you put that in your wallet, and you never spend it. You fold it or you put it in a specific compartment of your wallet, and you never spend it. We'll call that your attitude money. And so you have $5 of attitude money. That means you're never broke. You will never, for the rest of your life, get to the point where you say, I've got nothing.
Right.
Because you always have your attitude money. And at some point, double it up to 10. And so then you can tell yourself, I just doubled my attitude money. And at some point, double it up to 20. And at some point, double it up to 40. We had a 18-year-old get up to $1,000 doing this in his wallet. Pretty cool. The reason I mention it, it's this. Everyone has silence. Even if it's just the silence between breaths, there's the inhale, then the exhale, then the inhale. And there's a silence between every breath. And just putting your attention on that, what you put your attention on expands. And if you put your attention, you know, on even the silence between my words, that's meditative. That'll create the alpha theta healing brainwaves and creative brainwaves inside your mind. And we can do this all day long, even when Aunt Martha's gone. Well, now you have to pay taxes. I'm listening to, well, now you have to pay taxes. I'm noticing the pauses in her words. I'm noticing the space. And that brings me to that place of, yeah, cool. I get to discover how I can pay less taxes and make more money. and have more fun and not let negativity affect me, because I can experience that space.
Very interesting. As I was listening to you, your words, I was listening to the space.
Yes.
And it was very soothing and very meditative. The experience was tremendous. Wow. Oh, well, this has been a great call for me.
And me. Very.
Oh, wow. Well, coming down to soulful sex.
Yes.
Well, there's no question. We covered a lot. Anything else that pops up that you want to express?
Yeah. You know, I was traumatized. I think in a way, probably every person on the planet is in one form or another. And if I just toss a tiny little encapsulating thought out, it would be this. We get to learn how to love ourselves, truly love ourselves, even when we've been hurt, even if we hurt someone else. We get to discover this thing that the ancients called unconditional love. And it's not a airy-fairy concept. You get to notice I'm human as well as divine. You get to notice, can I love myself in this moment? How can I let myself love myself more in this moment? With my urges, with my imperfections, with my frustrations, with my past, how can I love myself more in this moment? And
so,
go ahead.
You're really talking from from a person who's clearly done a lot of work.
Yes.
What do you think would be, for somebody who's a little more green,
yes,
starting out, where do you think they would start? I mean, these concepts are pretty amazing. I mean, I'm still wrapping my head around it. But I would love it if this reaches out to whomever listens and their stable ideas about sex and love and energy and themselves definitely get shaken and stirred a little. There might need to be an undercut even more so, like to start, like where would somebody start with this? So for example, with this unconditional love, it's like, wow. You know, I'll just say this, you know, today my 5-year-old said, cause I asked him to get off the computer, and he'd had quite a bit of time, and I already have an issue with media time, and he was playing on the computer, and I said, okay, you know, it's time to get off now. And he said to me, I don't love you. I don't want you in this family anymore. And I took it so personally and was deeply hurt by it. And as you were saying the revision, I thought, okay, I should have used revision on that, because I wanted to leave. It was horrible. And in that moment, and the residual effect of that was horrendous, I felt no love for myself. I was like, I'm a horrible mom. I should just let him do whatever he wants. And there was no unconditional love. And here you are talking about this beautiful concept of unconditional love, which, by the way, is one of the values that our family decided we wanted to hold. And I struggle with that, mostly for myself.
Yes.
This unconditional love thing, because, you know, I set these standards by I should be this and I should do that and I should be this perfect mother and my kids should always be happy and I buy them all the Legos they want. And like, well, that's just, you know, that's not how we get love. But that's comes up as, you know, I how else am I going to get their love? Because that's what they feel love is sometimes. Or, you know, it's so, yeah, now I'm kind of getting off the subject here. But let's say we do need to. undercut it just a little bit, though. So I'm coming in from this level of just like living life with kids and, you know, really trying to do my best. And at the same time, so wanting to have a pleasurable, desirable, loving sexual relationship with my husband. But so far, every single time, I'm right there in the PTSD and trauma. It's like right in front of my face. So I hear everything you're saying, and I practice one part of it, and it helps. So
so with trauma, one of the things that we experience is things are not okay.
Yep.
And so your little boy pulls away from you. You know he loves you. But he pulled away. And he acted out, right? And so we lost Wooji. We lost that oneness. We lost noticing it. It's always there, but we lost noticing it. And when we lose noticing it, we drop from Wooji down to Taiji or the yin yang.
Okay.
And so you get to go, oh, wow, he just pulled away. God, that hurts. I wonder when he's coming back. And so we get to explore. I wrote the outline of a book that was basically something like, you're okay. and it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'll lay in bed and I'll smell her hair and then I'll have this urge and she'll start to snore. And I get to go, this is okay. I'm laying next to the most beautiful woman. And there's something that I want to do with all my protoplasm. And she's asleep. And I get to love myself and love her, knowing that, okay, she just entered La La Land, and I'm obviously not going there for an hour or two. That's fine. So we really get to explore quantum okayness. That might be the book title.
Ah. And so you put your attention, and you got more of the beauty. You put your attention on how, oh, the okayness of it instead of, oh, the snoring. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. That's huge. It comes full circle, doesn't it?
Yes. And by entering into quantum okayness, I go from that sexual energy of wanting to get closer to her and out and in and out and all that stuff, the closer, further bit, to return back to Wooji, which is, this is okay. God, I'm laying next to the most pure love. We can do this in traffic. I did it in a store today. I was in a customer service line, and there was nobody there, and the line was getting bigger, and the lady in front of me had way too much perfume on. And I went, not going to stand here. And I got to go, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with storming out. Oh, look at me storm. Oh, wow. I'll go in the car and I'll go home. I'm okay with that.
Oh, boy. That's going to be a new practice for me. Okay. I'm going to practice. I'm okay. You're okay. I'm okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to do it in this like thitty-weedy way, like, oh, it's all good. Oh, mommy, it's all good. Okay. Everything's okay. Because, you know, I could do it that way, but I really want to experience that.
Yes. You know, I've dated and been married to people that have been sexually traumatized. And one of the things that showed up for me with that was this. I got to be okay with their trauma. And Even though they weren't.
It probably helped them, huh?
What a tremendous gift.
Yeah.
Just by going, you know what? That's okay. Yeah, this is where you are. I love you. That's okay.
Hey, what's your concept when it comes to this? Because we had looked at this as far as the religious programming and sex.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to throw that one in there. You got 2 minutes, 20. Go.
I was raised in the typical Catholic school where pretty much if you touch something, you were going to go to a hot place. And wow, what an interesting thing with whether or not religion is well intended is up for debate. But religion in general tends to have a lot of control issues. Believe in what we believe or you're going to hell. So you have free will. Like, you reckon? When it comes to this religious programming, again, we can even somewhat revise on that. You know, what if I was never given this programming? You know, go back and imagine being a child being given some very different programming. Sex is natural. Yeah, you know, just imagine being given that program, and just imagine
sex is natural.
Yeah, and just don't affirm it. Yeah, affirmations drive me nuts too. You know,
okay,
being an LOA guy,
I'm asserting the positive. Sex is good. Sex is wonderful.
But we could go back in time and imagine being told by mom and dad or grandpa or grandma, you know what? You know, in a couple of years, you're going to discover something, and it's a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm. It's an absolutely wonderful natural thing. It's part of our protoplasm, and just imagine that conversation. Again and again and again. And at some point, that conversation will impact you just like any other memory does. And so we can go back and have that. And again, that'll change everything. Yeah, I know it does, because stuff like that has changed my life.
That is awesome. 20, you are really outstanding, brilliant, amazing. We're going to listen to this call over and over. There is some deep, awesome stuff here. Really, really good stuff here.
Well, thank you, Stefan. Let's do it again.
We are absolutely doing it again. So a couple things. Let's do housekeeping. You said you're going to get us a link, and I want to make sure I'm going to put it in writing for the folks as well when they see your bio that you're going to get me.
Yep.
And a link for the revision, and then a link for the possibility thinking.
Yep.
That lecture you talked about. Let's definitely pass those on, because
we'll put that all on the same page. That'll be at
awesome.
That'll be at freeneville.com/revision. That's freeneville.com/revision.
Fabulous. And folks, I got to tell you, 20 is my personal coach. I work with him and on different areas of life, and it's been huge, the shifts that have occurred as a result of working with 20. So I highly recommend it. And boy, this man is so generous. He and Victoria are really incredibly generous with their, what they know and their abilities. And I highly recommend just diving in anywhere that rings true for you, and you visit freeneville.com and sign up for his free newsletters. Cause I'll tell you what, there are tidbits that turn into tsunamis of shifts that can take place in the entire trajectory of your life. It's phenomenal. It's certainly happened for me, and I'm incredibly grateful, 20. You've been just a powerful support and source for me, so I really appreciate it. And hugs and love to Victoria as well, as I'm having my phone affair with my super fun 2020 in the vibration of love.
That's right. And we answer every email.
Yeah, they do.
So if you're listening and you want to drop us a note, if we don't answer, we didn't get it. So send it again. I promise you, we will answer every single email and answer every question possible. So, it's how we connect with other people. You know, the thing most like you and the thing most like me is another human being. And if we take the time to acknowledge that and decide to genuinely connect, and realizing when we genuinely connect, we'll get closer and further and closer and further. But we're also going to share, if we genuinely connect, that wooji, that love, that ability to basically just sit with each other in silence, in space. And it all begins by just saying, hey, I heard you in the summit, and I just want to ask you a question. Just reaching out with full humanness allows us to discover the divinity that we are.
That's beautiful. So beautiful. I had this picture in that moment when you were describing just sitting in that silence, how if planet-wide we could just sit in that space and be. I mean, I really experienced that for a moment. You know, this Facebook can be such, it's like this frenzy of trying to connect, but it's almost that whole frenetic disconnection. Whereas we could have this complete silence and we're wholly connected. Do you know what I mean? Did I communicate that clearly?
Yeah. Next time we talk, I'll share some teachings on the Native American, what most people call the peace pipe, if you want. There's some really profoundness there that fits in with what you just said perfectly.
Ooh, goody, 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 goody. You know I love that stuff. All right, awesome. This has been really super for our launch, and I'm very excited, folks. We've got some really good stuff in store, and I have a feeling we might be bringing you back, my friend.
Let's do it.
All right. So we're going to say good night to you all, and thank you so much. 20, stay with me, buddy. I'm going to be right back. So, folks, be sure you check out freeneville.com. It is well worth your visiting. And until next time, peace and blessings and lots of soulful sex.